We are still at the Holy Spirit School. Now, we will have Holy Spirit School graduation, keep it in mind, graduation on the 29th of October. Wow, stay tuned. But this week's message is about the Holy Spirit and how He is our helper. And I want to talk to you about this notion of the Holy Spirit as our helper. When Jesus came to the earth, I believe there was a definite purpose for His life. And I think we would all agree with that. I think with just a casual reading of the scriptures, you would have the notion that Jesus' life was on purpose. It wasn't arbitrary or whimsical. He wasn't just hanging out, doing whatever. Jesus had a kingdom purpose for His life. Is that fair? I would submit to you that in equal measure, the Holy Spirit is in the earth for a kingdom purpose. You believe Jesus came with a purpose that brought a benefit to you, and I would submit to you that the Holy Spirit is here in the earth and within us for a purpose of equal benefit to us. It makes no sense to limit your invitation to Him. And you can hear that as you read the scripture from John chapter 16, verses 5 through 15. Jesus speaking here, He says, I'll tell you the truth. By now you have learned, when you see that phrase, you know that what comes next is so bizarre that if Jesus didn't introduce it by saying, I'm telling you the truth, you'd think He was making it up. So when you read that Jesus said, I tell you the truth, learn to lean in a little bit, because something really crazy is coming. This is what Jesus said, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. Wow, I'm glad He said I'm telling you the truth, because that doesn't seem right to me. He's going away. I'm thinking if Jesus rode home with me in the car, I'd really be good. And then He tells me why it's better if He goes away. And He said, for if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come. But if I go, I will send Him to you. Now, Jesus thought that we would be better off with the Holy Spirit than if He stayed. And I believe Jesus told us the truth. It may be we have to recalibrate our attitude a little bit. We've been talking about knowledge and understanding of God and revealing it to us. So let's take a minute to look at some simple ways the Holy Spirit will help you. He'll bring knowledge to you. He'll bring insight, understanding, not just information. He will give you understanding into what and who you are and how you're engaging the world and how you can do it in a more godly way. The theological word that we use for that may be revelation, but that sounds a little spooky. But it's how to live your life with a God perspective that'll make a greater difference. In the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 28, we get to listen when Peter is speaking. He's in Caesarea. It's a Roman town on the coast of Israel. And he said, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile, but God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. There he said, God has shown me. How did God show that to Peter? Did he go to Bible study? Did he get it when he studied with the rabbis in the synagogue, the journey that started a few days earlier? No. Peter wasn't in Caesarea. He was in Joppa, which is an ancient port on the coast of Israel that is still there today. It was midday. He was waiting for the midday meal. He had gone up on the roof to pray, and he had a heart for the Lord. He could have been playing video games or doing something else to fulfill the time, but he was on the roof praying. He had a vision. He sees a sheet let down from heaven. And inside the sheet are all sorts of things that he's not allowed to eat on a Jewish dietary rule. And he hears a voice that he did not understand say, kill and eat. He said, not me. And God said to him, don't call unclean that which I say is clean. He sees that same scenario three times. And when it's done, there's a knock at the door down below. There's a group of people standing there who aren't Jewish. And they said, we've come from Caesarea, which is a Roman pagan town, they said, looking for somebody named Peter. He needs to come to our boss's house. Now, with that momentum of the vision, Peter says, well, maybe I shouldn't be afraid. Maybe I should go. But it's a two-day walk to get there from here in Joppa to where they wanted him to go, in Caesarea. I promise it's 2 days of turmoil and anxiety. What am I going to do with these people, Peter is thinking. What am I going to do? How can I go to explain? This is going to cost me something. And he gets to Cornelius' house, and Cornelius said, you know, we shouldn't really be doing this. I'm a Roman centurion, and you're a Jew. This isn't my idea to have you here, but I saw an angel, and the angel told me where you were and how to find you. So I sent my guys to get you, and now you're here. So do whatever it is that you do. Now, the next part was almost exactly like the events that happened in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on Peter, James, and John, Mary, with Jesus' trusted followers. That exact experience was duplicated in Caesarea on the non-Jews, on a Roman soldier in his household. So what does Peter say to it in response? He said, God has shown me. I didn't read it in a book, and it wasn't a singular event. The Holy Spirit intersected his life and the lives of the people around him, and it resulted in a significant shift in Peter's spiritual life. This is Peter that spent 3 years with Jesus. This is Peter that walked on the water. This is Peter that stood in the cemetery when Lazarus walked out. This is Peter that denied Jesus and restored by Jesus himself. This is Peter that preached on the day of Pentecost. And thousands of people accepted Jesus in a city that had previously rejected him and were baptized in public. This is Peter that could point to his spiritual curriculum and say, I don't need to change anything. I'm the baddest boy on the block. And he's standing in front of this Roman soldier in his household, pagans, if you would. And he said, God has shown me something. And as much as I want to say that you're impure and you're unclean, you're second-class citizens, I can't say that to you. Now, do you think from this example that we might need the help of the Holy Spirit? Do you think it might be helpful to say to him, if there's any idea that I hold the limits that are on me, if there's any life experience that I had better diminish in me, if there's any pain that I might have suffered in the residual from the pain limiting me, and if there's any family system issues that touch my life, help me, God. I don't want to be diminished. I don't want to miss what you created for me. Help me, Holy Ghost. And he will. That's good news. And he will give you insight and understanding. He may bring it in a vision. He may bring somebody else to you. There may be a knock at the door. I don't know how it'll happen, but he will. But if you want it, you have to care about it. Remember what we read earlier? Peter said, the prophets searched intently with great care. So don't be casual with the Lord. Why would an almighty God, creator of heavens and the earth, intrude on your life if you don't want him? Well, he's looking to give us strength. So here's another way the Holy Spirit helps you. He'll give you strength, literal, physical strength. There are many biblical examples that I could use for this, but let us revisit the story of Samson. You know, we talked about Samson early on in the Holy Spirit School. And one of the things that's really consistent in that story is nobody knew Samson couldn't understand why he was so strong. So I don't think Samson looked like a gym rat, you know. He didn't walk around with muscle shirts and making the rest of the people feel inadequate. Because when people looked like he was strong, but he didn't look strong. I don't know if he was just a little fella or not, or if he was kind of fluffy. I don't know what he looked like, but he didn't look strong, Scripture says. So he didn't freak anybody out. They say, how can that guy be so strong? What's his secret? And then they went to enormous and elaborate lengths to find out his secret. If he had been 7 feet tall, 400 pounds, and could lift a truck with one arm, then they would have known his secret. But they finally succeeded in having him betrayed into revealing his secret. Then Samson. And they burned out his eyes, and they put him into a life of public humiliation. This man of great strength. When his strength was gone, they made him grind grain like an ox or a donkey. They taunted him. Now, in many respects, Samson did it to himself. He lived a very casual, sloppy, immoral life. He didn't value the things of God. His God story started before his birth with his parents and committed that they made to the Lord an invitation it gave to Samson. It says the Spirit of God had come upon Samson and he would be able to accomplish things that he could not do by himself. Did you know God created you for things to be accomplished in your life that you cannot accomplish by yourself? Without his strength, you can't fulfill God's purpose and plan for your life and in your own strength. If you're still endeavoring to serve the Lord just with your strength and your ability, your wisdom, and your focus and your self-determination, you're forfeiting much of what God had created you for. There's strength that he will bring to you. Finally, in the Samson story, they're having a celebration. They gathered in a pagan temple, worshiping a pagan idol, because they had been given victory over their great adversary, Samson. They send a child to bring Samson so they can mock him in public. They bring Samson in, and he says to the child that's leading him, could you let me rest on the pillar that holds up this place? And listen to Samson's prayer. It's in Judges 16. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, O sovereign Lord, remember me. O God, please strengthen me just once more and let me with one blow get revenge for these Philistines for my two eyes. Now I think Samson had a lot of days to think about his choices. I think he had a lot of time. I didn't hear anger. I don't really think it's a cry for revenge. I didn't hear him mention Delilah. You know, she was involved in this too. I hear him say, God, could you feel that strength just one more time? I know what it was like when your spirit came upon me. And I know I presumed upon it. I know it, I took it for granted. Just one more time, God. Now, I don't know because we don't have a lot of detail in the scripture. But in my imagination, and I challenge you to imagine whenever you're reading scripture, because your imagination helps bring the story. But in my imagination, when Samson begins to feel the strength be coming around him, within him again, I see him to start to smile. I think in his breaths, there were belly laughs. And when he knew God had stepped away from him, that he wasn't abandoned. Failure is not final, you know. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. We have misunderstood and have stood at a distance for a very limited invitation before us. I don't know, maybe even a little reluctant, maybe fearful, and more interested and maybe or reserved that we could have been enthusiastic about the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit won't embarrass you. He won't humiliate you. We talked about this before. He will help you. Jesus said that it was the best thing for him to do was to go away. And I believe him. Jesus did what he could do on our behalf. He sent his Spirit to help us understand the implications for ourselves and the lives that we might live with just information, but lives experiencing the power of God. I think it's time for the church to be awakened and let it begin. So here's a prayer that we can pray together. It's a prayer of invitation to the Holy Spirit. Oh, I know we do that sometimes in church, and I pray, come, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place, but together corporately. And I want to encourage us that in this place, your work, maybe there's another person that's a Christ follower. So you can get that prayer out and offer the invitation to the Holy Spirit. And wherever you work or wherever you're at, family, friends, or whatever, do it quietly. Don't jump up on your desk or go to the neighborhood and shout out, "I want to pray the prayer of the Holy Spirit for you. Come on out. Let's have a party." No. Your life will represent you as a Christ follower. So if you take that prayer and pray it as an invitation to the Spirit of God in and wherever you live, neighborhood, church, work, wherever, but also then pray it for your city. God knows we need a lot of prayer for our cities. Pray for your state. Yeah, we're blessed to live in Florida, but this state needs some prayer too. And pray for our nation. Boy, oh boy, do we need it. We need God's help. And I believe there's something powerful and profound and significant when the people of God extend an invitation to the Spirit of God to come into our midst. He'll help us. It's a great opportunity. And this is the prayer that I brought for you and with you and also for me. You know, what's going on over in the Holy Land right now is very indicative of the evil that's in this world. And we need to be able to come together and ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Because He will come alongside and to help the people over there. He's a loving and caring God, and he wants to help us, and He wants to help us understand. He is the teacher also. He's got a lot of different names, and one of them is the teacher. But this is the prayer that I brought for you and me. And I'm going to say it slowly so that we can, maybe you can repeat it after me. So let's go. Heavenly Father, I welcome Your Holy Spirit into my life. Without any resistance, I need Your help. Apart from You, I cannot stand. Thank You for Your abiding presence, Your great power, and Your mercy. Give me an understanding heart that I may serve the living God with joy and freedom. And may Your life strengthen us today, body, soul, and spirit. In the precious name of Jesus, and all of God's children said, Amen.